God has called to his heavenly rest people from round our circuit. And they are June LaMarshaw from St. Juan Church, Eric Rossignol from St. Aubin, also from St. Aubin, Charles Harris, who is the husband, or was the husband, of Janet Harris and father to Michelle and Julie. And we ask that the Holy Spirit and Comforter bring their families comfort and peace this Pentecost Sunday. And if we can all remember them in our prayers, I'm sure that will be greatly appreciated. Coffee will be available at the end of the service across in the hall, so please do go across and continue in fellowship. There's some tables outside, so it looks like there might be some set up outside. No, it's... So go across to the hall and enjoy fellowship across there. And prayer ministry is available in the church. So anyone who needs prayer or wants to give thanks for anything, please do stay here and people will go across, leaving the church quiet for prayer. We don't have any birthdays this week at Bethlehem, but is there anybody around the circuit celebrating a birthday this week? No? Right. So you can see we have a lava lamp here on the piano. Maybe some of you haven't noticed it, but it's there. And some of you may remember lava lamps from way back when. It's powered by electricity, which brings heat and light. The heat causes the liquid inside to bubble and rise and fall. Like the lava lamp, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us light and warmth and warm our hearts today. May the Holy Spirit move among us and stir us up this morning, rising within us and falling upon us. And we're now going to have a call to worship, which is on the screen. Is it not working? Right. Rejoice, everyone, for God sends his Spirit for all people.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. For children?
Yes.
For grown-ups?
Yes.
The gift of God's Spirit is for everyone. Let us pray. Gracious God, we gather today as the first disciples did, and as Christians have done ever since, ready to meet you and to hear what you have to say. On that first Pentecost, you sent your Holy Spirit, and you promised the same gift to all who put their trust in you. Lord, we trust you, we love you, we want to serve you. Send your Holy Spirit on us this morning, that we may be filled and worship you with glad and thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now have the Acts 2 Bible reading, which is going to be dramatized with three readers. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place.
And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked,
Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?
Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, residents of Crete and Arabs.
In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power.
All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another,
What does this mean?
But others sneered and said,
They are filled with new wine.
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them.
People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say.
Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
And I will show signs in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist.
The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And we're now going to sing Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Let us pray. God of all time and all history, this is a day of celebration, because it was on this day that you sent your Holy Spirit to break into the world, to give birth to the church, and to empower all who know you and love you to be the bearers of good news of reconciliation. Today you break into the world and into our world once again. We praise you for it. We praise you for all that you did for us before Pentecost, for creating the world, and for your patient, powerful love for the human race. For us, who in our arrogance forget you and take pride in human self-assertion, human achievement, without looking to you. We praise you for sending your son Jesus to be one of us, to heal, teach, tell stories, to die for us and to rise again. We praise you that at Pentecost we have the Spirit of Jesus forever by our side. We praise you for all you have done since Pentecost, for the millions who have lived their lives in your light and pointed others to you, the centre and source of all that is. We praise you for all that you have done in our own lives and in the life of the church. And God, we praise you for all that you are going to do as we open ourselves to the possibilities that you have been preparing for us. Make us receptive, make us bold, and make us people of praise. today and always. Thank you, Father, that you came to people at Pentecost, filling them with Holy Spirit. You still come to your people today, helping them to resist wrongdoing, strengthening them to do what is right, speaking to them in all kinds of ways. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the life that you give, for the new life that you offer, for the power to live in the right way, we give you our thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. And now we have the prayer of confession, which we will all say together. Gracious and holy God, we confess that we have sinned against you and against our neighbour. Your Spirit gives light, but we have preferred darkness. Your Spirit gives wisdom, but we have been foolish. Your Spirit gives power, but we have trusted in our own strength. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, forgive our sins and enable us by your Spirit to serve you in joyful obedience to the glory of your name. Amen. And we're now going to sing two songs led by Joe on the guitar, and then Peter will take over.
Church family, and we are one family today on this Pentecost Sunday. And can I thank the way in which the church has been decorated for all those who have spent time in making this display, reminding us of the warm flame of God's Spirit that is upon us and within us today, and we pray will increase among us as we worship on this Pentecost Sunday. And on this very day, the 24th of May, each year, the Methodist Church remembers the conversion of our founder, John Wesley. That was 288 years ago, on the 24th of May, 1738. And what we call Wesley Day or Aldersgate Sunday coincides today with Pentecost. And that's a wonderful thing and a happy coincidence. So as we see Mr. Wesley out in the open air, we're going to hear about that new work of loving grace, in the words of our last song, that new work of loving grace that happened in John Wesley's life, that sent him on his way. And Mike is going to share the account of John Wesley's conversion with us. Thank you, Mike.
On the morning of the 24th of May, 1738, John Wesley came upon these words in the Bible: "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." He wrote in his journal that in the afternoon I was asked to go to St. Paul's Cathedral. The anthem sung was, "Out of the deep have I called unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice." In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate. During the meeting at about 9:15, John experienced his conversion. I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for my salvation. He was sure his sins had been forgiven. This was the great turning point in John's life. After much prayer, he stood and proclaimed to the congregation how he felt in his heart. The hymn writer Shirley Murray was inspired to write these words about John Wesley's warmed heart and what followed. How small a spark has lit a fire. How small a flame has warmed a bitter world. How great a heart was moved to hope, to dare, and bring forth the faith out into the open air. No boundary sign will stand against the faith. No wall restrain the preaching of the word. The good news travels on. It rides the road and draws to unity the realm of God. The single note becomes a psalm of praise. The single voice grows to a swelling choir, and born in song, new stories now are sung of freedom, chains unbound, and loosened tongue. Thank God for all who listened and believed, who still are by the Spirit set on fire. Our hearts be warmed again, for Christ will wait on beach, in upper room, or Aldersgate.
Thank you, Mike. And this presents us with the question, as we come together as churches, what has warmed your heart, apart from the good weather? We've been strangely warmed, haven't we, with the heat, but what about what's inside? What good news has warmed your heart recently? And what is bubbling up where the Holy Spirit is moving? Just going to give you a couple of minutes just to talk to your neighbours in twos or threes, or to turn and just share that good news that has warmed your heart. It might be good news from your church, from your circuit, from your parish, or from your own personal experience. And then we'll come together and have an opportunity to share back and encourage each other with good news in a world where there's a lot of bad news. So let's share together.
and they'll say that we're not going to do the last song. Well, I don't know. I'm just going to play my ear. I'll tell her that.
You know, it's so wonderful to hear that commotion. And do you not think that is a similar commotion to what happened on that first Pentecost, that bubble of excitement and activity in the room before they burst out? It might be that we don't want to share out loud, but we want to give the opportunity for those who would like to share their good news and what is bubbling up. So Ali's got the handheld microphone, which we'll use so that we can all hear what you're saying. And you might just say your name and what church you're from, just so that that will help us to know you.
Those who don't know me, I'm Reverend Karen, and I'm retired. I must say, that bubbling up reminded me of the Ignite event where over 80 people from the circuit came together. And this is just a very quick update on the Circuit Ignite Prayer Initiative. Ignited as well. One of the key outcomes from the Ignite event, attended by more than 80 of us, was the recognition that a renewed commitment to prayer is central to deepening our spiritual lives. And in response, a prayer team was established to help coordinate prayer for Ignite across the circuit. Now, the team of four have contacted all the churches for feedback, and following those conversations, it's been decided to explore a slightly different approach. As a result, the two meetings planned for June have been cancelled, while the team continues to pray and discern a new way forward. Ignite marks the beginning of the roadmap for achieving our vision and mission plan. So please continue to pray both for the prayer team and the team preparing for the circuit weekend in October. And that statement will actually go into the circuit newsletter for anybody who's not here. So it's good news. Prayer is the foundation of all that we do.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Katie from Bethlehem. I think what's bubbling up and so exciting for me is the fact that we have the opportunity to meet again, all of us as a circuit, at the circuit weekend of the Via Ritz, which Karen was leading into so beautifully with the prayer. And it's going to be just so amazing to spend a whole weekend together, really looking forward to what God's doing in this circuit and possibly beyond, who knows. And only by prayer and through just inviting the Holy Spirit into the whole event is this going to be the wow that I'm sure will happen. And just as we've heard the singing, which Joe is leading so beautifully along with our people that always sing for us in Bethlehem and the musicians, we will be having, I believe Joe has been already asked. If not, Joe, this is your official your official request as a worship leader. We will have somebody over from the UK speaking. It It's a not-to-be-missed weekend, the 23rd of October to the 25th. If you haven't got it in your diaries, put it in and book your rooms, because it's going to be great. Just two items to share. One is very personal. A couple of weeks, my cousin was rushed into intensive care, where they discovered her... was perishing. So she was put on oxygen, which was going to be completely life-changing. Two of the hospitals in England would not even look at her. There's been a lot of prayer going up, and praise the Lord, Guy's Hospital took her over last Thursday. She had the operation Friday. She's walking, she's got her full breathing back, and that was Holy Spirit through the power of prayer working in a private life, and that's wonderful. And the second, I must mention our United Services with Bethesda. Because as we have been uniting from time to time, sometimes here, sometimes at Bethesda, I feel Holy Spirit has been moving us. We have become one family, as we are told, by sharing with each other that Holy Spirit is certainly moving in both places and amongst everyone. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Just to say how people can make a difference, I think, in lives. As you know, we've got roadworks everywhere in this island. It's driving us a bit mad. Well, this week they've been up on our road, Route to Mare, and they were working there. And Donna and I were talking about it, because obviously we live very close to one another. And I had to go out one time in Birmingham, coming back. And they were right in front of our drive, causing chaos. There were about five huge vehicles there. And the chap who was working there, it was ever so pleasant, and he said, "Do you need to get in there, love?" And I said, "Well, I would like to go home if I could." "Right, chaps," he said, "move this one, move that one, move the other one." We had the whole roadworks moving everywhere for me to get into the drive. And funny enough, they all said exactly the same. Chris had to go to, you remember, had to go to Philadelphia and Marks and Spencer's. And it was chaos there as well. And she wanted to get across the road. The chaps came out, helped her across, put a little ramp for her down, and when she came out, they wanted to go to Mark's, and they escorted her off there and everything. Yes. Yeah. That's right. And I was just thinking, and I do find that in life, quite a few times, and it really makes you feel happy, how people treat you. You know, you can go out and just make a word, or just a kind remark, or something, can make such a difference. And I just think, that's a responsibility for us as Christians, how we treat people. It might be somebody on the bus, I have great conversations on the bus, but it's just a smile or just a gentle word, or sometimes listening to them if they've got a problem and just giving, not necessarily advice, but just, you know, empathy with them. And I just think we can all do that, and it makes such a difference in life, how your day goes, how you treat people.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Sorry, I'm hiding in the corner here. I just wanted to say from St. Henry Methodist this morning, our children, young people, are actually at the centre. And we've just been chatting here about what this church looked like for younger generations, and I think it's just really important. And they have their church, and we've had a couple of occasions now where they've come upstairs and led the service, basically, and the older members of the congregation, I use that word, adult congregation, they've been really positive about that. But we acknowledge the fact that, you know, they've got to find their place in how they worship and how they learn their teaching. And we're thankful that we've got a diverse community at St. Helier, and that we've got children, young people, and that we've got to find ways of how we can reach out and relate to them. So that's, I think, positive. So that's really good. And then the second thing, really quickly, is just on the back of that, I get asked a lot of questions at work about my faith and why I go to church. And I work in quite a secular environment, shall I say. I work for the government, I'm not going to say any more because you don't want to come and aim at me later. But just to say, it's interesting the little conversations I can have over a coffee or at lunchtime with people. And you know, maybe they're looking at my life, maybe they're trying to understand. But it's just those little opportunities, those little glimpses into daily life.
Thank you, Malcolm. And thank you to all those who have shared. Was there anybody else before we round up? Isn't it good news to hear how the Holy Spirit is moving in these everyday situations, everyday lives, the big plans and hopes and dreams, and also in the small everyday interactions? The Holy Spirit has broken out and is not confined to Sunday mornings. The minister in Alderney, Reverend David Stretton, is heading up Island Pilgrims. Now, some of you will have heard of that title, Island Pilgrims, or the title, New Places for New People. Across our Channel Islands, we are looking to reach out, as we are doing already, but even more. And we're going to watch a short video now with sound, and this will tell us all about Island Pilgrims.
We all know it's hard to fill our churches, no matter how warm, bright, or welcoming they are. The truth is, traditional church just isn't for everyone. And that's a problem. But here on the Channel Islands, on Sark, Alderney, Guernsey and Jersey, we're doing something different. In summer 2026, we'll be launching Island Pilgrims, a new way of being church, across our four islands, on beaches, in cafes, pubs and clifftops, and online. We've been listening, praying, experimenting, and now we're ready to go big. How many times do you hear someone say, "Yes, I believe in something more"?
Pray together. Lord, we thank you so much this morning. The way in which you breathe life into our souls and into your church, kindling in our hearts that flame of love. And Lord, as we now reflect on your word, speak to us, we pray. Inspire us. And may we know and do your will. Amen. I hope already you're seeing that on Pentecost Sunday, we don't just look back and consider what happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago upon those first followers. No, otherwise, Pentecost is just a religious commemoration. And if that were the case, then the Holy Spirit would not only be a caged bird, but a stuffed bird as well. And it's not so. It's not so, as we're hearing. The Holy Spirit is still alive and giving life today. A poet, Stuart Henderson, wrote a poem entitled "Pentecost is Every Day." And in his poem, he imagines the Holy Spirit speaking these words to the church. "I share and share and share again. I give and give and give again. Not restricted by the church calendar, not concocted ritual. I have no need of anniversaries, for I have always been. I speak and speak and speak again. I am, and I am again." Yes, Pentecost is every day. And in that way, commemoration gives way to expectation as we go from here today. And in our sharing together, we've been thinking, what has the Holy Spirit to share and share again? What has the Holy Spirit to give and give again? And what is the Holy Spirit speaking and speaking again? We're beginning to give some answers already today. And it was in his sermon that Peter stood up on that Pentecost Sunday when everyone was saying in harmony, as our readers did, what does all this mean? He gave the answer, saying, this day was expected. This day was expected. The prophet Joel anticipated it. And Joel knew this city of Jerusalem where it all happened. And it was Joel who called the people to repentance and purification. It was Joel who first spoke about the day of the Lord. It was Joel who anticipated the coming of the Spirit. And now at Pentecost, that waiting time was over. Peter proclaimed those words of Joel, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit. The last days are the days of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the longed-for Messiah who visited Jerusalem. He fulfilled the ancient prophecies through his incarnation, his ministry, his healings, signs and wonders, his death and resurrection and exaltation. And we live in these last days, a season before the final fulfillment of God's promises and purposes. We live in expectation of his coming to reign. I am coming soon, he says. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit. Pour out. Before Pentecost, there were occasional raindrops of the Holy Spirit. There was a sprinkling, but there was not enough to end the drought for God's weary and thirsty people. But behind the scenes, the clouds were gathering. The clouds were gathering. Think of Elijah, who prayed for the rain to come in the season of drought. And his servant brought the weather report. I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising above the sea. The cloud was small, but the rain, the shower, was coming, just as we see off our own coast, but not this weekend. And it was that that inspired Charles Wesley to write, saw ye not the cloud arise, little as a human hand, now it spreads across the skies, hangs over all the thirsty land. Lo, the promise of a shower drops already from above, but the Lord will shortly pour all the Spirit of his love. And praise God, he did. He did. When they responded to that word of Jesus, wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. At that moment, Pentecost Sunday, it brought a cloudburst, a deluge of the Holy Spirit. And it was just the beginning, as we've heard. The Spirit is still moving. And we still come to the river today. So don't go home today weary. Don't go home thirsty. We're going to share communion. Don't go home hungry. But be filled afresh today. Open your heart to the Spirit of God. Be refreshed. Be filled. We praise God that, as we heard in our sharing time, the Spirit will overcome all barriers. We heard about the roadworks, the moving of the obstacles, the laying down of the pathway. And that happened for us at Philadelphia as well this same week. Again, works outside Philadelphia, and they had to lay down the platform for us to cross. And maybe that's a special word for us today. God moving the barriers or preparing the road, the message of John. He will remove the barriers. So we don't look back in time only. We look forward. We look forward with expectation. Festival time is here. Pentecost is every day. So let it be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fall upon us now. Pour out yourself in power. Amen. As we respond to God's word, we are blessed to include now a dance offering of worship in our service. Heidi, Sue, Debbie, and Cindy, all from different churches, and that's symbolic as well. And they're going to dance for us. And first of all, we're going to hear a word of introduction, and the dance will be followed by our prayers of intercession, led by Lorraine.
Well, our mission statement here at Bethlehem Church states, we recognize the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. So as we celebrate Pentecost today, we invite you to look at the deeper meaning behind the Jewish feast of Shavuot and Pentecost.
Pentecost is one of the most incredible examples of God's perfect planning. It is the Jewish holiday of Shavuot, also known as the Feast of Weeks. This feast celebrates two things for the Jewish people: the wheat harvest, the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, which was accompanied by fire, thunder, and the voice of God.
Shavuot and Pentecost are deeply connected, both centering on a 50-day countdown. Shavuot marks the 50 days after Passover and celebrates the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Pentecost, meaning 50th in Greek, is a Christian celebration of the Holy Spirit descending on the apostles 50 days after Easter.
In Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place." Why were they all together in one place? Because Shavuot is one of the three annual Jewish festivals requiring all devout Jewish pilgrims to travel to Jerusalem. So there were many thousands of people there from all different countries gathered there to worship. On the very same day that Israel celebrated receiving the law written on tablets of stone, God sent his Holy Spirit to write his law on human hearts. A divine appointment set thousands of years in advance.
Another powerful thing. At Mount Sinai, when the law was given, 3,000 people died that day because of their sin. On the day of Pentecost, when God poured out the Holy Spirit, 3,000 souls were added, the exact same number. This is not a coincidence. Where the law brought death, the Holy Spirit brought life.
In Leviticus, God gave specific instructions for Pentecost, which seems strange at first glance. "You shall bring 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They will be of fine flour and baked with leaven," which is yeast. So these loaves contain leaven, which throughout Scripture typically symbolises sin. During Passover, all leaven had to be removed from homes. But here, God specifically commands leaven to be included. Why would God want an offering with leaven then?
Because these two loaves perfectly picture the body of Christ. One loaf representing the Jews and one representing the Gentiles, both containing leaven, because we all have sin in our lives, yet despite our imperfections, God accepts us as his. The two loaves are a picture of Jew and Gentile being brought together as one in Messiah, yet maintaining their distinct identities.
And when did the Holy Spirit create this united body of Jews and Gentiles believers? On Pentecost. At Pentecost, God said, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." What they could not do under the law, God does through his Holy Spirit. It's the day God's presence moved from dwelling in a temple made with hands to dwelling in human hearts.
It's the day when the harvest of souls began, a harvest that continues to this very moment as more people come to a faith in Jesus. When we understand Shavuot and Pentecost together, we understand God's perfect timing, his perfect plan, and his incredible love for both Jew and Gentile.
So, Cindy and Sue and Deborah, we'd like to offer up this dance for today. It's by Helen Shapiro. It's a deeply spiritual and a very powerful song. It's like a prayer, and we'd love you to pray it with us. Let your heart be gently warmed. And it's choreographed by Emmanuel Dancers. I don't know if I mentioned that. And those last words about the harvest, it's so powerful. And there's all sorts of things we could say. But Acts 1:8 spoke to me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So these are Jesus's own words. Maranatha, Ben Kadosh, come Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. I've got goosebumps all over me from watching that. Oh, so, prayers of intercession. There is a response. When I say, Holy Spirit of God, please respond with, fall upon us now. Let us pray. We pray for the guidance of your Spirit for our circuit in times of change. Ignite and revive us, we pray. Fan the flame of faith and love and warm our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, fall upon us now. We pray for the gifts of your Spirit to be released in your church. We pray for the leading of your Spirit in future mission, especially island pilgrims, that we may make a difference. Holy Spirit of God, fall upon us now. We pray for our island in this election season, for every candidate, each with their own hopes and dreams and motives. We pray for servant leadership,
with a heart for the common good of everyone and for a transformed society. Holy Spirit of God, fall upon us now. We pray for the wider world, for peace between Ukraine and Russia, for the Holy Land, for peace in Israel, and peace for her neighbours. For love that overlaps the boundaries of race and nation. Holy Spirit of God, fall upon us now. Come visit your people in their need. Come, Holy Spirit, as comforter alongside those who are bereaved. Come, Holy Spirit, as the dove of peace for those who are troubled. Come, Holy Spirit, to heal those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. Holy Spirit of God, fall upon us now. Pour out yourself in power on us and fill us to overflowing, that we may bear the good fruit of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Holy Spirit of God, fall upon us now. We ask these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Our offerings that we have given will now be dedicated. Thank you. And I'm going to ask if Wilma will come and help move the table as well. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us. And we ask for one more, and that is a thankful heart. We offer to you these gifts and those given directly across our churches. We bring bread and wine for our communion, lives and gifts for your kingdom, and with them ourselves, all for transformation by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We just can remain standing as we're going to now sing our hymn before communion, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.